Last week really hurt me because I'm like, oh, it's Dallas and just, but this week it really put. I'm like, yo, this is gonna be a long fucking season right now. It almost hurt. Like I like dead ass. I'm one of like those over the top sports fans, and I had like anxiety attacks like the rest of the night. I just was sitting there in bed like, what? And I hate how sports gets me this fucked up, but it just. I mean, I love it. You know, I take like the highs and the lows. I
Got
mean,
you.
and. It's just fuck it. Let's get it started. Woo! I'm fucking pumped.
Got
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, episode 37. You know who it is. It's Ethan and Weiss here with you once again. It is Tuesday evening. It's rainy. It's gross outside. I'd say the only thing more gross, the New York Giants offense. But before we get into everything, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. So, first things first, follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at EthanGSN. Go follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Go follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We're on iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. Every subscription helps. It helps us grow. We love doing this for you guys, and we love that you listen. Let's get into it. We have a guest this week, and I don't know how much I've teased this on social media yet, but I want to welcome DeMario Jackson. You can follow him on Twitter, at DeMario Jackson _. You know him from The Bachelorette. You know him from Bachelor in Paradise. And now you know him as a New York Giants super fan, which is new to me. DeMario, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. We're happy to have you. And listen, we know you're just as upset as Weiss and myself, so we're going to get into everything, believe me. Ben McAdoo, Eli, offensive line. We already had a crazy pre-show airing out the grievances. But before we get into it, tell everyone a little bit about your Giants fandom. I was a little bit surprised because I know currently you're a West Coast guy. So when did you become a Giants fan? Give us your top Giants moment. Give us a little background here before we really get into things.
Yeah, so I'm originally from California, but my grandparents are originally all from Brooklyn. So the story with the Giants is, yeah, like the Giants and Yankees, within seconds of being born, I had, you know, a New York Giants, you know, hoodie. Yeah. I had my little Yankee hat, and it just was a way of life. That's just all I knew. You know, I would go back to the East Coast every year for Christmas. We would go to Giant games. You know, I hate Dallas. I hate Philly. I hate Washington. Just like, you know, somebody born and raised in New York. And it was tough growing up in California and like the San Francisco area, being like 100% East Coast bias. You know, you get the shit. I mean, I'm walking around, I have my Jeter jersey. Yep. I have my Strahan. I have my old school Sims jersey, LT, you know. So it was kind of like one of those, I was always defending myself, which prepared me for 2017, defending myself, defending our team. And, you know, throughout my whole entire life, I've always just gotten like the craziest looks. Like, I'll be at a bar with like my Yankee hat. I'll be at a bar like my Strahan jerseys. People are like, do you know where the fuck you're at? I'm like, yeah. You know, so, I mean, it's one of those things. You know, I mean, I'm 100%. I'm proud. I mean, even the year when we, you know, went on like that nasty, nasty like streak. Well, what was it, like 0-6? I'm still rocking it. Every single Monday, proud as hell. You know, my favorite moment, you know, I have two moments, and I think it's very stereotypical, but I mean, you know, it's the David Tyree and it's the Plexico catch. Yep. For me, I had heard about, you know, how great we were in the past. I heard about, you know, this, you know, championship teams. And in 1991, I was a little too young for that. But for me, I mean, nothing is greater than, you know, nothing is greater than witnessing your team win a Super Bowl, and you're old enough to be able to enjoy it. You know, I mean, for me, like when the Yankees won in 2009, it was a different feeling from 96, 98, 99, 2000. I was able to drink. I was able to enjoy it. You know, I knew the game. I knew what was going on versus pretending and just kind of being there for the ride. And like those two moments are something that I remember when Randy Moss caught his touchdown. I kind of bowed out a little bit. I was like, man, you know what? That was a great game. You know, and to see Eli scramble, to see like Woodson, like, you know, I'm sorry, Harrison, who's like a evil defender, and to see him beating on Tyree's, like
one of the meanest of all time.
I mean, one of the, like, just the straight animal. And for me, it was great because I'm a big defensive guy. And I remember they told Tom Brady, they were like, oh yeah, like, you know, they said they're going to hold you to 14 points, and it's the funny video. And he laughed. Mm-hmm. And what do you know? We are Thomas Joseph Edward Brady to 14. And for me, it's a great thing because he's now considered the GOAT, and his two blemishes on his record are both New York Giants. And that is just amazing for me. Amazing.
Yeah, man. That I think that for all of us, that was a special moment in the team. Obviously honored honored the 07 team last year. But I wanted to ask you, DeMario, obviously, you know, that was then, this is now. When you look at this team, obviously I didn't think they'd be 0-2. Ethan didn't think they'd be 0-2. I don't think you thought that they'd be 0-2. But when you look at this team and we look at, obviously, Eli and what you've seen over the past, you know, two games and then last year, are we sort of – is this sort of like – is the end approaching where we're starting to realize that, you know what, maybe the time has come a year or two too early than we originally thought?
You know, I'm heartbroken. I haven't been this excited for football in a couple of years. And the offseason moves, how great our defense played last year, even though we lost and it was kind of like, you know, a bad taste in our mouth, I thought that with the addition of Marshall, the addition of Ingram, the addition of Ellison, I mean, we, on paper, and I know you don't play the games on, but on paper, I'm thinking, okay, cool, top five, insane offense. And I'm just heartbroken because I just feel like, what did we do in the offseason? Like, that's my biggest, like, as a fan, and I'm looking and I watch this team, it's as if we don't know each other. There's no chemistry. There's no, like, I mean, it just seems like we're just out there. Just, it's like a pickup YMCA game. You know, you're like, hey, what up, bro? You want to get quarterback? All right, cool. You get left tackle. Okay, cool. We're just, you know, and we're out there just kind of going through the motions. And as a fan who's, like, dedicated and, like, I love this team and I love everything about it, it's very heartbreaking. I feel like we as fans are taking it more seriously than the players, with the exception of like Landon and like, you know, Vernon definitely and Odell. You know, JPP. Yeah. I don't know, man, like seeing Odell out there, it gives me, I love it because he's hurt. You know that he's hurt.
Yep.
You could tell, you could look at it like he's just not, but he wants to win, man. And it just, for me, is very, you know, I mean, it just sucks because I just feel like that, like, I mean, like the Eric Flowers situation, like that just, it hurts me. Like yeah. That really, really hurts me as a fan. I'm like, how, like, do we not know this in the, like, you know, when we're going through practice, like, do we not know this? How are we here?
And well, I'm that's just so the thing. Confused. And, you know, you bring up a lot of good points, and I sort of want to transition into, like, everything that happened yesterday and everything that Weiss and I had said last week. And, you know, number one on the rundown, you know, we can get into our thoughts on the game. To me, and this is, I sound like a broken record, and I said it last week, I'll say it again this week, Ben McAdoo is such an asshole, because this guy had months to plan around his team's one deficiency, the offensive line. We knew this coming into the season. We knew Eric Flowers was terrible. We knew Bobby Hart wasn't a good right tackle, even though he seems to think he's the best right tackle in the NFL for some reason.
That makes no sense.
It makes no sense.
No sense.
So, to me, huge knock on Ben McAdoo. And you know what? Not to turn into Stephen A. Smith or anything, but you know the Stephen A. Smith clip with you know, with Porzingis right after the draft? We have been bamboozled, hoodwinked, and flat-out deceived because Ben McAdoo tricked us into thinking that he was this offensive guru, and we have seen nothing except an absolutely putrid offense for his entire tenure, and especially over these last eight games. It's almost unwatchable football. Yesterday, it's tough. It's tough. We got into Eli. We'll get into Eli a little more specifically. For him, he doesn't look great. You know what? I tried to defend him last year. He looks like he's nearing the end. Like, it's almost time to take him behind the barn. But when he does step up and try to make these plays, Brandon Marshall's dropping passes.
Oh, my God.
The team's taking holding penalties. It's like when Eli Manning finally does do the positive things that we have expected of a two-time Super Bowl MVP, his team's letting him down. So, yes, there's blame to go McAdoo, Jerry Reese, Eli Manning, offensive line. It's not black and white, and a lot of people don't understand that. They say, how could you blame Eli? Well, it's very simple. Look at the Evan Engram interception. Look at him not getting the snap off at the 1 yard line. The blame goes all around. And, you know, Weiss, let me pass it to you.
You know, yesterday was a very depressing game for me because it was something that I didn't want to accept that this could happen, even though I kind of sensed that it would. And we were confident last Monday. We were talking about it. And you and I, we both kind of picked Detroit. But throughout the week, you know, you just...
And can I say, interrupt you, we both picked Detroit and getting a lot of shit from it, from people on Twitter and listeners of this podcast. But you know what? We knew what we were going into. We had seen enough at that point.
Yeah, for me, what really like made me sort of realize that, you know, tomorrow could be bad was when I saw Denver. And listen, I give Trevor Siemian all the credit in the world, but when I saw Trevor Siemian and the Broncos just have a field day with the Dallas defense, and I said, man, this is a much worse situation than I think. This offense that the Giants have is really bad. But just throughout the game, you just saw like the same mistakes. Like you said, Ethan, like Eli makes a mistake after the Giants, you know, get a big turnover, and we sense the momentum is shifting, and then Eli throws a pick. You know, we see Eli finally getting into a rhythm, and Brandon Marshall drops a pass. Kick return, punt return for a touchdown on the next play. It was just stuff like that, stuff that just continues to bury this team. And when your offense is struggling, and I'll get into the offensive line in a second, but when your offense is struggling and you get an ounce of momentum, that ounce can go a long way.
You can't especially just give it right back.
Exactly. They can't afford to do that at this stage. They can't afford to just keep losing momentum, keep losing drives, turning the ball over, putting their defense in difficult situations. And last night it just seemed like, you know, again, it was, okay, one step forward, six steps back, three steps forward, eight steps back. And with the offensive line, I mean, at this point, it's like beating a dead horse. You know, we both came into the season thinking, okay, the offensive line is a weakness, but they can mask it by they went out and got Rhett Ellison. They went out and, you know, got Evan Engram to attack the middle of the field. They added a fullback to their roster. But it's like they aren't – Ben McAdoo isn't using these resources properly, and because of that, it's costing this team. And – we're at the point that we can sit here and we can talk about it and we can continue to talk about it and spend countless time talking about it. But we know that the offensive line stinks. And we know at this point, I'm so confused as to what else do you need to see for you to realize that I have to make a change on the offensive line. Because let's be real. Do you think that they would have made a change on the offensive line if the only change they made was because Bobby Hart got hurt? They weren't going to make a change if Bobby Hart didn't get hurt. So it's almost like to the point where it's like, man.
You know, do you think it's ego? Because for me as a it seems like that Ben refuses to change offense line. It seems like it's more like an ego thing to me. I mean, it's
and
obvious.
That, it's that, something that we touched on a little bit last week where I was making the comparison, and it's even more ironic now because they honored the 07 team yesterday and Coughlin came back. Where the biggest knock on Coughlin was the fact that he was like this very stubborn guy and stuck in his ways, and then he ended up changing, and then this team made a run to the Super Bowl. To me, it's a mix of both. I think Ben is stubborn in his play calling. I think when it comes to the personnel in the offensive line, and I said this after the end of the preseason, I said it last week, there's no help coming. This offensive line is the offensive line. The starters are the starters because the backups are worse. There's no way that they can go out and trade for someone. And there isn't really a veteran out there that's going to come in here and make the impact that we're expecting. Which is a damn shame because Eli Manning has the mobility of a tree. And if you go into a season with a 36-year-old quarterback who's taken a beating throughout the course of his career, he's taken some pretty bad hits, always remained healthy, you got to give him more protection than Eric Flowers. And Eric Flowers graded out incredibly poorly. He was in the 40s per Pro Football Focus. You know who graded out even worse? Greg Robinson, the Lions left tackle. But they can manage because Matt Stafford has some sort of mobility.
That's true. You know, it's funny. Watching present-day Eli reminds me of David Carr, his first year in Houston.
Oh, boy.
You remember when, but like the sad thing is that you would think that at 36 and just like the very, very, very high NFL IQ that Eli would be able to, but Eli looks like he looks lost. He looks like a puppy on the 405 freeway during rush hour. Like last night, I remember it was like two consecutive plays. It was two consecutive sacks, but he just looks confused. He looks as if He's never been in a – it's like, hey, here's a football. Go out there and football. And he's like, okay. I mean, it's heartbreaking because, you know, I'm a big – I mean, I'm that guy who goes into the bar and I will argue with anybody about Eli, and I love Eli. Yep. And now I'm like, fuck, man. My guy is just falling apart. I mean, it sounds crazy, but with our offensive line and with our current state, I feel like – It might sound crazy. I feel like Geno would be a better fit because he's a little bit more mobile.
You know, I was having – you know, here's the thing. And Wise, feel free to step in here because it sounds crazy. It does. And I was having thoughts about this, and I tweeted out numerous times during the preseason that Geno looked real good in Ben McAdoo's offense because of the mobility factor. Keep in mind, Geno was playing with the backup offensive line, so he had to scramble even more than Eli did. And something that I brought up earlier in the podcast is the fact that, you know, Eli tries to step up and make a play, team lets him down, and then the very next play, Eli screws up. There's no sort of chemistry or consistency here. I remember one specific series where Eli drops back to pass, had 5 seconds to throw. It was one of the only times of the game the offensive line gave him enough time, didn't get rid of the ball in time, took the sack. Then the very next play, he gets sacked within 2.5 seconds. So, you know, they can't get out of each other's way. They're not going to start Geno. And I don't think they should, barring injury, just because Eli knows this offense. Eli's the 2-time Super Bowl MVP. I understand what you're talking about. It's the mobility factor. And it's something they need to look for in their next quarterback, especially if they're going to keep rolling out this putrid offensive line. You know, even the guys who you look at in the NFL who still have that sort of prototypical big pocket presence, they're mobile. And, you know, Ben McAdoo, again, how he duped us with his offensive guru, he was the quarterback coach for Aaron fucking Rodgers, who's the best, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the NFL right now. And that guy can do it with his legs, even when his offensive line breaks down. So, you know, no Geno, but there needs to be some sort of mobility factor. And going into the season with this offensive line, with Eli Manning's mobility, a liability. Now, since we're talking about Eli...
Well, can I say one thing about Geno?
Go for it, because I do want to transition to McAdoo calling out Eli.
I personally do like Geno more than the average person. I do like him a lot. They probably should get Geno ready just because the hits that this 36-year-old man takes will not survive the season.
And I said that in the beginning. People are confident that he's going to last. I think this is the season.
He took a hit last night. He got the ball off, and it was a completion of Sterling Shepard.
I remember it was a wobbly one. I remember that.
I mean, he took a hit where he looked like he died.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked like his
head literally compressed into the turf.
Yes, it really looked like he got buried, like, into the ground. It felt bad for him because I think he deserves better. And this talk about mobility and all that, Eli was never mobile even when he was 26. And
well, that's the thing, which is why he needs those really good offensive linemen.
And that's where the blame comes in to the person that constructed this roster. Because you've known this quarterback. I mean, you became a GM when he became the starter, essentially, maybe a year or 2 years apart. You know who he is, and you did not upgrade. Not even one position. We like to talk about flowers and all that, but not even one position of your weakness. You know, you can't.
That's negligence.
Ethan, you know me. I like Jerry Reese, and I've defended him numerous times. But there's no defending that. It's not like Eli was fast 2 years ago or mobile 2 years ago, and is not anymore. Well, it's like, man, you know, he just lost a step, and you know, it is what it is. But this is who he was, and we talked about it last week, and not addressing it on either the right side or the left side, man. I mean, you gotta blame the guy who constructed this roster, and. It does not look good right now, and you just got to pray for that poor guy.
And I just want to say one thing, because it's funny now. It's like we've crossed like two ships in the night, even though not really, because I still am not a huge fan of Jerry Reese. I said it before. Ben McAdoo had months to prepare for this. He knew his tackles sucked. So what did Jerry Reese do? He said, okay, well, we don't have enough cap space to really sign someone like a Whitworth. We don't have the draft capital or the willingness to go out and trade for a Joe Thomas. And listen, there's terrible offensive lines all around the league. People aren't just giving away these stud left tackles like people think that we can just go out there and grab them like they grow on trees. So you go out, you draft Evan Engram, you sign Rhett Ellison, You have Shane Smith on the roster. There is no fucking reason Eric Flowers needs to be on an island with Ezekiel Ansah. There's no reason for it. You brought in Rhett Ellison. Run these 22 personnel sets. Run these 12 personnel sets. Get them help on the edge so that people can chip, people can block. Throw an extra offensive lineman out there for all I care. Eli Manning needs time in the pocket. Scheme around it. You had months to do it. DeMario, I want to get 100%. Your opinion on this, and we'll go round table like we always do. Ben McAdoo has been making the rounds, sort of called Eli out during his press conference after the game yesterday. And Weiss, correct me if I'm wrong, it was on not getting the snap out when they were on the 1 yard line.
Yeah, correct. The delay game on the fourth down. Okay.
Yeah. Now, see, I'm a bit indifferent on this because Ben took the overall blame for the outcome of the game.
Right.
But he was asked on that one specific play.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. Like, yes. I mean, I don't really think that. I mean, it wasn't like the minute he got up there, he's like, just by the way, hey, Eli's the blame. The question was presented to him. He answered it. He still took the overall blame, but that was Eli's fault. You know, that was, I mean, for me, I mean, it goes back to my original, what did you do in the offseason? Like, he has no chemistry with his wide receivers. He has no chemistry with his running backs. He has no chemistry with the offensive line. It's as if they're complete strangers. It's like, I mean, it's as if, like, he just walked in to, you know, last week's game in Dallas, and he's just like, all right, cool. Like, you know, we're here. Because there's no offensive, like, there's no anything. And for me, watching, like, the players in the offseason, watching how, you know, like, you know, Shepard and Odell have become, and, like, Brandon Marshall, I thought, wow, this team has some chemistry. They, you know, they have something going. And then you watch them play on the field. So it just question, like, you know, it makes me question, like, Eli's leadership right now. Like, do you want to be here? Do you want a quarterback? Do you want to play? Because those are just bonehead moves. Because, you know, you score in that situation and we're in the game. But instead, we get the 10-yard penalty. And, you know, it's just – so I don't really have a problem with how Ben, you know, said it and the call out of Eli. Like, not at all.
Here's what I have a problem with. And Weiss, I know exactly where you want to go. So I'm going to sort of tee this up for you.
All right.
My issue – with Ben calling out Eli for this, there's a couple things with it. One, this isn't Ben's first year here. Ben's been here for a few years. Ben knows Eli. The fans know Eli. We know Eli. Eli is good for one of these time management fuck-ups a game, whether it be forgetting to call a timeout. And by the way, I do want to talk about Ben McAdoo essentially letting 30 seconds go to waste before the half. That was preposterous. We'll get to that later. Eli Manning's good for one of these clock management fuck-ups once a game. So, you know, it's didn't come as a total surprise that he's running up to the line, didn't get the snap off. Ben McAdoo, who, in my opinion, and I said this with Coughlin, the fish stinks from the head down. Whether the head is Jerry Reese, for me right now it's Ben McAdoo. It's the scheme, it's the play calling, it's not helping his tackles on the end. Almost all this falls on Ben McAdoo. And for him to go out there, and he doesn't have, I know this is the key buzzword right now, he doesn't have the clout to go out there and criticize a two-time Super Bowl MVP and then let Weiss, this is where I'm going to let you take over, and then go ahead and let his left and right tackle off the hook.
100%. Now I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, I think the relationship that Eli and McAdoo have, I think it's much different than what a lot of people think on the outside. I think those two kind of have an understanding. But listen, it's just a bad look when you sit up there and you say, look, it was Eli Manning's fault. He even said it was like, yep. DeMar, you hit around the head. Listen, the delay, he said he was asked about the delay game. It was, he's even, and you know what? He didn't just blame the quarterback, he blamed the center as well. I know everyone takes that sloppy quarterback play and kind of makes that the quote. But it was a full context question, and he gave a full context answer. But if you're gonna blame Eli, but you're not even gonna acknowledge the poor offensive line play, even calling them out as a whole. Forget about the tackle. Just say the offensive line played sloppy. That's fine. But you fail to acknowledge what really is going on here. It shows me two things. It shows me, one, your ego just doesn't want to admit that what you have going on in the offensive line is not working. Or two, you're basically admitting to the world that your starting left tackle is very sensitive. And he has done things in the past that proves that. But it's just not a good look. But at the same, it's not a good look, not because of what he said, but because of the fact that he won't hold others to that same standard.
Question.
Where he can say something like that in the public. Yes, sir.
Question. So just me thinking outside the box, do you think that he is criticizing Eli because he knows he can take it and he isn't criticizing the offensive line because he doesn't want to further damage their egos? Like, I mean, the whole world is shitting on Flowers. The whole world is shitting on offensive line. So for me, if I'm a, you know, if I'm a leader and I know that, okay, cool, the best player on my team is LeBron James, he can take the heat, I'm going to call out LeBron James and be like, yo, get your shit together. But if I know that Kyrie or Shumpert or the other guys who are sucking, if I know they can't take that type of heat, like, do you, you know, because that's where I was kind of going with it, is I feel like that he just, he knows that the house is on fire. We're slow dancing in the burning room. We're John Mayer right now. We're just in here, just, we're slow dancing. And that's what I kind of got, because I feel like that if he would have went out there and said, like, hey, Flowers, hey, you guys, like, get your shit together, it would have already added more fuel to that fire, and he knows Eli can, you know, take it.
Well, here's the thing, and I agree with that, because, and you bring up a good point, because Eli is someone that's been criticized his entire career in New York, in every publication, by every fan at some point, and it's one of the things that people say is a very good positive thing about him, is that he was built for New York. He can just let these words just bounce right off him. Nothing really affects him. However, if you're a professional football player, if you're Eric Flowers, if you're Bobby Hart, and you can't take that criticism, get off the fucking football field, because you're getting paid the buco bucks to go out there and do your job. And if you're not, and it's not just that, Ben McAdoo had the press conference today where he said Eric Flowers is absolutely still the left tackle and that Flowers did some good things on Monday night. What good things, Ben? I saw zero good things. The only good thing is that Eli Manning walked off the field in one piece, which was a goddamn miracle. So there's one, to my opinion, there's one, and it's, you know, it's just not criticizing, and then there's gassing him up. To say that Eric Flowers did some good things, that's just a flat-out lie. To, you know, blame Eli Manning a little more because you know he can take it, I'm fine with that.
When he said that, actually, you know what's funny? So my buddy, he sent me a text. Shout out to ZJ. I think he'll probably be listening.
Nice.
And he sent me a text, like, jokingly. He's like, oh, look what your boy said. I thought he was joking. And, like, legit, I almost punched my gym partner in the face just because I was so upset. Because at this point, for me, it's like, look, dude, if you want to tank because you want to get Sam Darnold, you want to get Rosen, you know, you want to get that kid Allen, you know, you want to get one of these college studs, like, let us know. Like, let me know. We're going to tank to get one of these studs, whatever. But don't lie. Don't, like, it's almost as if, I mean, remember when Sonny Corleone got shot up on the causeway in The Godfather? It's like a setup. Like, this seems like.
Yeah, they're trying to kill Eli Manning.
For Eli. It's like he's trying to kill my guy. Like, at one point, Ziggy Ansah was laughing. Did you see after he got, like, I think his second sack in a row, he ran back. And he, I mean,
Ziggy Ansah has 5 sacks combined last season and the first 2 of this season. 4 of those 5 have come against Eric Flowers. That's a real stat. That's embarrassing.
Wow. Like, put in Ellison. How come these running backs aren't chipping? I mean, it's so difficult. It's extremely difficult to watch these games and to know the game. But obviously, I don't know the game like the offensive genius McAdoo, you know. but like, for me, I'm like, huh. I'm like, wow, everybody on Twitter agrees with me. All my friends agree with me. Everybody in the world agrees with me, but this offensive genius somehow thinks that, you know, Flowers did something great. I don't know what he did great in the game. I have no idea. I watched the entire game. My eyes are bleeding. I mean, I don't know, man. It's just, I mean, it's extremely confusing when you're watching something and the coach just won't own up, you know, own up to it. You know, our guy stinks. He stinks.
And before, I just want to say this. One of the quotes from the press conference that I got some very funny responses to, Matthew said, "It's not that we can't score, it's that we haven't scored." And I got some replies. "It's not that I can't be an astronaut, it's just that I haven't been to space yet. It's not that I can't make a 53-man NFL roster, it's just that I haven't tried. It's not that I can't win a Nobel Prize in physics, I just haven't taken any physics classes." This guy is such an asshole. All right, back to Flowers. Weiss, one of the questions that you posed to us, is it, and I'll let you take it first, is it time to give up on Eric Flowers at left tackle?
Yes.
Well, absolutely. Okay, so let me rephrase that. Ereck Flowers is absolutely not the left tackle of the future. Is it time to move him somewhere else right now?
Well, here's the thing. Coming into the season, all we asked was Ereck Flowers, don't just be adequate. Don't be
mediocre.
A liability. Yeah, don't be a liability. He has been a liability for the most part this season. You have to make a change. I mean, we're at the point where they're going into Philly on Sunday, and if you trot Ereck Flowers out and stick him at left tackle, which they're going to do, it is going to be an absolute disaster. Because
I'm imagining right now the scene from Lion King where the hyenas are all just like standing around laughing, just waiting to feast.
I mean, could you imagine? Like, teams prepare for games. Could you imagine?
They're in the offensive line room laughing, or the defensive line room laughing their fucking ass off at how much they're going to take advantage of this line.
Brandon Graham is going to run a complete train on him. Yeah. If I'm Brandon Graham, I'm setting bets in the locker room, like four sacks plus, or else I'm buying everybody fucking Razor scooters or something. I don't know.
It's unbelievable, and it is time to give up. He has not done anything in his career for this team to continue to forget about gift wrapping him the left tackle. You're telling me he hasn't done anything in a game to garner a benching?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? You're not even benching the guy? Forget about moving on from him. He hasn't done anything. The guy gave up 3 sacks and a quarter, or 2 sacks and a quarter in back-to-back plays. And you don't bench him? Like the offense is struggling. They need a spark. Yes, sir.
Who's left tackle? For me, it's Justin Pugh.
Justin Pugh, Chad Wheeler, DJ Fluker, whoever you want to do it, just do something. Whoever's next in line, like, who's the backup left tackle? Is it Chad Wheeler? Is it Justin Pugh?
It's got to be Pugh. It's got to be.
Okay, if it's Pugh, stick Pugh at left tackle. Then let's see what he can do.
What about you,
DeMar? You don't want to move Pugh? Fine. Put Chad Wheeler there. But we have to see something. I mean,
I say put Pugh there, probably like left guard, probably like Fluker, see how he plays there. Yeah. Move Flowers probably over to right if you don't bench him. My whole thing is like, I want to ask Ben, like, what type of pictures does Flowers have of Ben's like wife or mother?
He knows where the bodies are.
Like, you know, I mean, I mean, it has to be. I mean, you know, you sit here, and we all play sports growing up. Yep. You know, if you mess up enough times, you're going to get benched.
Absolutely.
Like, that's just what it is. If you cheat on your girlfriend enough times, she's going to break up with you. Like, there are certain things that happen. And for me, I'm almost wondering, I'm like, yo, what does this kid have on this guy? And what hurts me the most is at the very next pick after we picked him. And do you remember when we picked him? It was like, he's this big body. He's this,
he hasn't allowed a sack all senior year.
Yeah, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But then the very next pick is Gurley, who looks like he's coming into his way, and we need a running back. And that's why I'm so salty about Flowers, is because I feel like there was a lot of great players on the board when we kind of reached and picked him. And I remember I was like, okay. You try to sell it up. He's a big body. He's this and he's that. And then you see present day, and you're just disappointed. I mean, I just feel like if you don't bench him, you have to move him over to right tackle, and you have to let Pugh do the left tackle. And you have to have, you know, Ellison in there. You have to have these, running backs get some chips, because if not, it's going to be another long Sunday versus Philly. And I can't take Philly slander. I have a lot of my good friends are from Philly. I just can't take it.
Here's the thing, in my opinion, about that moving him. And I contemplated that idea. But they've been so, they've treated him so great, and they gift-wrapped him and everything, that they haven't even tried to like move him around during the summer, where they've kind of prepared for that doomsday scenario where, hey, Flowers doesn't turn into that, you know, left tackle that we're banking on going into year three. They didn't even try to like say, okay, we're preparing you for, or preparing our team for a scenario where you don't improve, that we have to move you, where it's almost like now it's like too late, because it's like he's not prepared anywhere. So
yeah, and the move to right tackle is one that I contemplated a lot this offseason. But if you look at it now, you move him there, at least Eli can see the pressure coming. At least he can see it. That's in my opinion, what you got to do.
Yeah, because it's a complete blindside. I mean, I mean, to have him as like left out, like again going into this game. I mean, I just don't get it. And I mean, if I'm Brandon Graham right now, I'm sending out text messages like, "Hey, four sacks or more," or because this is cookies, man. This is I mean, this is straight up. This is like when Randy Moss saw like a corner on him 1-on-1. It's like
waving his hand in the air.
Like you already know. Like you already, this is easy right here. You know, it's like mouse in the house, man. And it sucks because unfortunately, it's our team. You know, it's Eli. You know, and I would hate to see my guy in his career with one of those like Joe Theismann type hits, but it's going to happen with this offensive line. I hate to say it. I don't want to be that negative. I don't want to be, I hate throwing out those vibes, but my guy was getting, it just hurts, man.
Lit
it
up.
Hurts.
He was getting lit up.
Literally pray for Eli. Yeah.
So that's a good transition. Let's look ahead to Philadelphia. Weiss. Now it just boggles my mind. Cause we were texting earlier today. You are somehow more optimistic about going in and winning at Philly than you were about playing at home against Detroit. Can you explain that?
Well, no, it's not that I'm optimistic going into Philly. My only thing is that we gotta take a step back here with Philly. Yeah, they this is the toughest probably defensive line that the Giants are gonna face, or one of the toughest. But they're not, you know, this juggernaut in my opinion. I think this could be a game where if the Giants figure out how to mask some of these things. Listen, Philly's secondary is not strong. They're banged up there, and they got corners that are really, really bad. I mean, I told you they're Giants' offensive line bad. That's their weakness. And if you can get enough protection, you can get the ball out of Eli's hands. You can get it to the receivers. They can do some things. And on offense, I mean, I like the Giants' defense. They've held the Cowboys to 19. They held the Lions to 17. Obviously, the punt return made it 24. But they, amongst the four NFC East teams, the Giants have held their opponents to the fewest points, 43 in two games. So the fact that they have this great defense, it keeps them in certain games that they're not supposed to. It can allow them to, you know, maybe steal one. I mean, listen, I don't think that they're going to win this game. Nobody should think that they're going to win this game. But this notion that this is a guaranteed loss, in my opinion, I'm not buying that, because the reason why I wasn't so confident about the Lions game was these primetime games for the Giants, there's always seems to be a couple where they just don't get the job done, and the Lions seem to be one. They really didn't seem like they had fully understand that what the issues they have. I think there's a little bit of an understanding after the Detroit game that, you know, maybe, not saying it will happen, but maybe we see a little bit of wrinkles that are different. And
blind hope, Weiss. Blind hope.
Listen,
the last time they went into Philadelphia and got a meaningful win was 2011. And don't give me that 2013 nonsense, because they won 15-7 against Matt Barkley. They haven't won in Lincoln in years.
So you're telling me that they have no shot of exploiting the Eagles secondary?
None, because
they do. Okay, that secondary is bad. And you
it's
know
really
what?
Bad.
I agree with you. And see, and this might be my inner homer, but I'm telling my buddy, my buddy's an Eagle fan. We talk football every day. And your exact words when you said that their secondary is New York Giant offensive line bad, he almost said that to a T. He said, "Yo, our secondary is low key almost worse than you guys' offensive line." I think that if we can get Eli the protection that he needs, we can have Odell and the boys. I mean, we're due. I mean, shit, we haven't had a great offensive. I mean, we're due. It's like, come on now. I mean, the clock is right two times a day, right? Come on. I mean, I have this hope that, you know, Ingram over the middle, that Marshall's catching passes. Because even in these two games against the Cowboys, against the Lions, we still were in the games. And we completely just sucked. And our defense, like, thank God for Collins. You know, like, I mean, thank God – like for, you know, for our defensive players. But I think that if we can somehow get Eli the help that he needs, we can expose that secondary and we can make this a game. Do I think we're going to win? No, but I think that we can make this a game. I think that we can, next week this time, we'll be discussing how our offense looks great.
The thing is, when you have
you guys, you guys have me flipped.
No. When you have a great defense, the defense keeps you in a game you're not supposed to be in. And we saw it last year with the 0-2 Redskins. A defeated team talks about the coach being on the hot seat, quarterback, questions about the quarterback, and they went into New York 2-0, and they beat us. I mean, I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but when you're when a team is desperate and they're 0-2 and there's all this talk, sometimes that when their backs are against the wall, that they you see the best of them. And I'm not saying that they're going to go out there and they're going to score 30 points, but hey, man, 17 might win them the game. 19 points, 18 points, they might win this game for the Giants just because their defense is that great.
Yeah, Carson Wentz is hot garbage. He threw 9 interceptable passes against Kansas City. So the defense has a chance. Going in there with that crowd noise, with the history of Eli not performing at Lincoln Financial Field against that defensive line, they're going to need to win this game 10-3. I think it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be real bad. I don't think they're going to win. And, I mean, we were just talking about it. That defensive line is going to eat Eric Flowers for brunch. They're going to sit down. Brandon Graham's going to pour himself a mimosa. He's going to sip it. And then he's going to sack Eli Manning. It's going to be a disaster.
They got to figure out how to mask it. They can't leave him on an island one-on-one.
If we see that shit again, I'm going to lose my mind.
But that's what I'm saying. We have to agree on one thing. They have the personnel that can mask the offensive line issues.
That's what's so frustrating.
That's why we gave Rhett the money. That's why we have these running backs. Like we paid this guy specifically. He came from Minnesota, correct?
Yes.
Came from Minnesota for this situation. It's like it'll be like, you know, you getting LeBron James and benching him. Why the hell is he gonna get his ass out on the court?
Yeah.
You know, like Oh, last night was so – like, why did we – I'm still upset. Why did we leave him on that island?
Somebody
like,
it's chipped like, somebody.
Like, why? We never – I mean, it was almost as if, like – it was like hazing. You know, you're just – you know, you have this guy. You're watching him get the shit beat out of him. You're like, wow. Like, it's like, help. Like, you know, like the – you know, it's like the Simpsons meme. It was like the beating the dead horse. Like, stop. It's – come on, man. I mean, we need Ellison to be in the game. We need, you know, an extra, like, lineman. We need something. Because if not, like, RIP to Eli, especially with this Eagles defensive line, especially with the defensive line.
Especially with that line. Do we see a change in the play calling? Do we think that Ben McAdoo hands it over?
No. Too much ego.
Weiss. I mean, he didn't. Usually when they talk about that, when they ask him about the play calling, yep. He kind of shuts it down. But this time he was more open about it. I think you got to, man. I think if there's something that they can do quickly, something on the fly, it's kind of handing over play calling.
Well, and listen, I agree. But there's the difference. I think we all agree he needs to, but does he?
Does he this week? No.
I think I think we're all in agreement there. I don't think he does. I think he's too stubborn.
I think Sullivan will be more involved, but I don't think he hands over the play calling.
You know what I would like to see this week? Not like just changes. I want to see some fire.
Yeah.
Like with the exception of like DRC, Landon, Vernon, Snacks, JPP, basically our defense. I just don't see like the, you know, like when I watch, like first, when I watch week one versus Dallas, it was as if it was like a week 8, week 9 game. Like, you know, we weren't pumped up. We weren't hype. Like the NFL is back. Football is back. We've been waiting for this. You know,
Someone scream, someone celebrate.
Something. I mean, it's like this is the if you want to watch the definition of no fun league, it is the New York Giants, like on offense. It is very stale, it's bland, it's like old popcorn that you just find under your fucking car seat. It's like, come on, man. And for me, again, as a fan who, you know, I have anxiety attacks because of this team. I can't sleep because of this team. I've been getting slander everywhere all day, every day because of this team. All I want is some fire. I don't mind a loss. A loss is, okay, cool. We lost the game. But at least compete. Like, you remember that game against the Saints a few years ago when it was like a million to a million? It just was like a fun football game. We ended up losing that game.
52-49, I think.
Yeah, you know, but it was a great game. You're like, wow, this is some excitement. The team was into it. The fans were into it. Twitter was going crazy. Everybody was going nuts. For me, I'm just like, man, I feel bad for our defense because could you imagine if our offense was clicking how great we would be? We were on the field. We're still on the field versus Dallas right now. I mean, that was ridiculous. At one point, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I just want some excitement, some fire, some life. You know, I want people to want it as bad as we want it as the fans.
So
here's what they got to do. Too.
Go ahead, Weiss.
Here's what they got to do. A quick point. They got to play with urgency. They're 0-2. They're not 2-0. You know, this is the second division game. They already dropped one. If they're going to turn it around, they got to turn it around on Sunday, because winning that game will be huge for them. But they got to play with urgency. They got to get this thing going. If it's going to get fixed, they got to get. It has to start getting fixed Sunday.
If they fall to 0-3, is Ben McAdoo on the hot seat?
I don't. I just shit has to get real bad for him to get on the hot seat. I just don't. I don't see.
I think starting off what's supposed to be a Super Bowl run season 0-3, to me that's hot seat territory. I know this organization. They're loyal to a fault, and historically, coaches. He's only in his second season. They're not going to put him on the hot seat. I don't know, man. I think that the media is going to really turn up the heat, and you might hear John Mara come out and say something.
I just think that he needs to humble himself and give up, the play calling, or let Sullivan I don't know, man, because I'm a guy. I mean, we all have egos, right? But if something isn't working, you have to sit down. I feel like he needs to. He has all yes men around him right now.
Yep.
For instance, I have my group chat, my day one homies. So if I was to say or do something reckless or do some wild shit or just whatever, dye my hair fucking pink like I'm Kanye, they would be like, yo, you're bugging out, man. What the hell are you doing? I feel like Ben doesn't have those people. I feel like he has a lot of yes men in his life who just want to be in his life because he's a New York Giants coach and because he has money and this and that. He doesn't have that friend that he could be like, yo, bro, am I bugging out? Do I suck? It would be like, yeah, bro, the shit's whack. We haven't scored 20 points since week 12. You're this so-called offensive genius. You have this great offense. You have weapons. You have 6'4" Brandon Marshall.
You have Odell
6'4" Ingram. You have Odell Beckham. You have this crazy juggernaut of an offense, and we scored 13 points. The Cleveland Browns put up 20. Screaming. Jets. Yeah, Jets. I'm yelling because I'm like, what the hell is going on? This is the most passer friendly league that it's ever been. You can't touch a quarterback. You can't touch a wide receiver. And we can't even, quarterback can't even get the ball to the wide receiver. It's just, man, it's difficult.
It's
difficult.
Crazy. All right. Let's get into some fan questions here. Before we get into the actual real questions, I'm just going to read out some of, DeMario, you're a frustrated fan. I'm a frustrated fan. Weiss is a frustrated fan. Some of these questions are tough. From Brett, for Sunday's game, do I go with a 12 of Sam Adams Oktoberfest, or do I just skip straight to the hard stuff? Thanks, I'll hang up and listen. What is the best way to temporarily blind myself when the offense is on the field? That way I only have to watch the defense.
I read that one.
How much beer do I have to drink before and during the game to always be taking a piss break when the Giants are on offense? Who's more useless, Trump in office or Flowers at left tackle?
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was tough.
That's a tough one. All right. Yeah, I think those are the bad ones. So this one from Victoria. Hello, dear. This is a good one because I mentioned this earlier. I want to talk about it. Can you make any sense of McAdoo just quitting at the half or running when you're down 14 with 6 minutes to go? This goes back to what we were talking about after week one and we were talking about after week two. The play calling makes no sense. Let's talk about him quitting at the half. Instead of taking that timeout, making Detroit kick the field goal and then trying to drive and get those 3 points back, making it a one-score game before the half. To me, that's unacceptable, and Ben McAdoo's an asshole. DeMario.
Didn't we go into the half with three unused timeouts?
Yes.
What the?
Yeah.
I thought that was I thought somebody was just trolling me. So here's the deal. You're only as strong as your leader. For me, that was just a cop-out. Why would you do that? Why not put that
It was frustrating.
2-minute offense down? Why not try to go for it,
Yeah.
It makes no sense. And then don't get me started on his running plays in the fourth quarter. Crazy. That made no sense. I don't know. It's bad enough we have Trump in office. Now we have this guy who's running our team. And I'm just so confused because as a fan, we're all fans. We all put so much into this team. We want it more than them. That makes no sense. Did anybody actually ask him that question today? I didn't peep his press conference.
Asked him about it.
Because I would ask, why? What was your logic? What was your reasoning behind just giving up with 30 seconds left and you have three timeouts?
Yep. Weiss,
man. I mean, I was speechless when he was doing it. I got nothing, man.
All right.
I don't know. I can't explain some of the stuff that he's decided to do. I don't know.
You're literally speechless.
As far as the running, though, running the ball in the fourth quarter, because the offensive line, and I'm not making this excuse for him because there was ways to mask this, because the offensive line is so bad, because you're down 14 and the defense knows you're looking to throw the ball, they have to sort of bring those safeties back down. They have to bring those linebackers back down, and that's why they ran the ball. But it's inexcusable. I completely agree. There were times when he wasted so much time off the clock. But this goes back. I just think he's so overwhelmed as a coach right now that he just needs to use his coordinators, specifically Mike Sullivan. He needs to allocate some of that, you know, responsibilities to him and kind of focus on being the head coach. Because head coach, listen, the one thing we cannot take away from head coach McAdoo is that he won 11 games last year. Mm-hmm. We can't take that away from him. As the head coach of this team, he won 11 games. He needs to be a head coach and not be a head coach and offensive coordinator. Because as we're seeing with these type of mistakes and these boneheaded decisions, it's just not working out.
Yep.
It's not working out.
Next question from Dan Braun. What changes need to be done on the offense side of the ball for them to have a chance versus Philly? My answer is something that we've talked about pretty in depth. The tackles need help. Get Red Ellison out there blocking. Have Shane Smith or a running back chip before they go out for a pass. You need to help the offensive line block, and I think that's literally all they need to do to win.
100% offensive line. I mean, you just said it. Like that's what we need help with.
Yep.
Period. And we need Eli to have some sense of urgency. We need Eli to have some type of presence to
throw up something.
Yeah, something. You know, like, hey, blink if you're here. Like, yeah. I mean, it feels like that his. Like, he has, like, the opposite of, like, when the Monstars, remember they drunk the juice in space? Yeah. He has, like, the opposite of that. And he's just, like, a shell of himself. You know, he's, like, it's like he's brain dead out there. You know, I'm like, God, man. But, yeah, we need help with the offensive line, period.
Yeah, I mean, I talked about it. You gotta help the tackles out, specifically your left tackle. You're going to have to give your quarterback enough time. He's going to have to make smart decisions. Listen, their secondary is weak. You got to get the ball to your receivers, and hopefully Odell's 100%. He can kind of give him a bigger workload this week. And one thing we didn't talk about, but when they were in the red zone against the Lions, they didn't use Brandon Marshall. And this is another one of those things that I can't explain this to anybody. Like, if you ask me why doesn't your team use Brandon Marshall in the red zone, I don't know. Like, you use him in the red zone. They need to use Brandon Marshall in spots where they could use him. And look, I think it's not, people are saying that they got no chance, and that I'm not saying that. I mean, I know they struggled in Philly, but you know, I don't think Philly's as good as people are making it out to be. They're 20th in the league in running the ball. It's not like they can run the ball. And I'm not a big believer in Carson Wentz, so you know, and the weapons they got around him. So I think it's not like a foregone conclusion that they're gonna lose this game. But they got to figure out how to exploit Philly's weaknesses. And by doing that, they're going to have to mask theirs. So we'll see what happens.
All right. The rest of these questions are honestly just too depressing to read. So with that, DeMario, the way we typically wrap up the show is just like Weiss usually has one or two things he likes to talk about, and he throws it out there, and we just banter. Weiss, you got anything this week?
DeMario, past couple of, obviously around the NFL, you're seeing, you know, what's going on. But who, in your opinion, is the early favorite? To me, it's Kansas City. This team looks, offensively, they look so creative. They look so good. Alex Smith's playing with so much confidence. And Kareem Hunt. I mean, let's look at the backs the Chiefs have had.
Yep.
I mean, they went from
Jamal Charles, Spencer, Priest Holmes, going back to Priest Holmes, too.
Priest Holmes, Larry Johnson. Jamal Johnson. Yeah, I mean, listen. And now Kareem Hunt, who's an absolute stud. But we're 2 weeks in. My Super Bowl prediction was Seattle and New England, and Seattle winning. Seattle doesn't look too good. They kind of look like the Giants right now. I mean, I know they got the win, but that wasn't impressive at all. But who's early on, man? Who do you like so far in this season?
You know what? And I would never admit this when Reed was the coach of Philly, because obviously – Philly.
Yep.
But people have to realize Reed is a damn good coach. Like, a damn good coach. And Alex Smith finally has something that he never had, and that's consistency. Like when he was in when he was in Frisco, I think he had like what, 3 or 4 coaches, 5 or 6 offensive coordinators. He never got a chance to really mesh, and everybody wants to like label him a bust and this. And I followed his career extremely closely. One of my best friends is a diehard Alex Smith fan. Like he's gonna name his firstborn probably Alex Smith. Like it's just he's not even a KC fan. And finally, they not only have the pieces, but Alex Smith, he's balling like he has Urban Meyer out there with him. Yeah. I mean, he is eating, and like their offensive schemes is what's scary. When they put New England on notice, you're like, oh shit. Like you went out here against Big Bill, like, you know, Belichick. You know, you can't give Belichick this long against any team. He's gonna eat him up, except it's the Giants in the Super Bowl. And yep. I love what Kansas City's doing. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, when you have, you know, when you have Barry and when you have Peters out there as like your two leaders in your secondary, and you also have, what's the guy's name? The fucking sack machine, Justin Houston. I mean, they have the offense, they have the defense, and they have the great coach in Andy Reid. And I mean, I like them a lot. Come playoff time, it's a lot different. But as of right now, I have my eyes on them, and I really like what they're doing.
I really like what I see out of Denver. I know Trevor Siemian looks, I mean, he's not balling like Alex Smith, but he's got the weapons and he's got a defense. I really like Denver.
But yeah, AFC West, man.
I have to say, if the Giants somehow find their way out of it by midseason, I'm hopping on the Kansas City bandwagon. I'm just saying it right now.
Wazel, you brought up a good point with Alex Smith, though. The one time he got a consistency with Harbaugh, he got benched for Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, he's never, had any consistency. Can I have one shout out? I want to shout out to Chris Long.
There you go.
Because he's donating his first 6 game checks of the NFL season to fund scholarships in Charlottesville. I really hate how we live in a world where things like this go unnoticed. Mm-hmm. Like for instance, like my pop's a cop. My whole entire family's in law enforcement. Like my dad, all my uncles, grandpa was FBI. And unfortunately, we live in a world where negativity is a lot more, it's bigger money.
It's more marketable. Positive.
Way more marketable. You know, I can be the greatest guy in the world and blah, blah, blah. The minute I have that one moment, it's all over. It's plastered all over. So I just want to say shout out to NFL players who are actually doing something with their name, yep. with their checks, with, you know, I mean, it's easy to go to the strip club and drop $50,000. That's easy, whatever. But nothing is greater than when you can kind of put your money out there and you can put your face out there, your name out there, and he's actually doing something for the greater good. Like I always say, knowledge is power. Getting our youth involved, getting our youth inspired. It's one thing that I do. I love speaking to the youth. I love going into a classroom with my Jordans on, with my New York Yankee fitted, and I can explain to the kids that, yes, I'm college educated. Yes, I have a job. Yes, I have this. But, yeah, I'm just like you. I look just like you. I love inspiring little brown boys, little brown girls that, yeah, you can look like us and still be this. And what Chris Long is doing is incredible, incredible, incredible. And I just want to say, like, special shout out to him and everybody around the league who's doing ball shit.
All right. Shout out to Chris Long.
One more question before we let you go. You're out on the West Coast. Obviously, they got 2 NFL teams out there. Do you think it's going to work?
No. Here's the thing with L.A. L.A., we are so Hollywood. And when I say that, I mean, put it this way. The Lakers, right? 16 championships, yep. Kobe, this and that. When I tell you these last 2-3 seasons, Staples Center has been empty. I mean, empty. It's so funny because Laker fans talk shit about Clippers fans for years, how they don't come to games, how they don't do this, how they don't do that. And then for the last 3 seasons, I've watched Staples Center. I can literally buy a ticket in the nosebleed and walk right down the front row, sitting right next to Jack.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, you know, and the thing is, it's just like the Dodgers, too. I mean, the Dodgers, they come in the 3rd, they leave in the 8th. You know, so unless one of these teams can strike big and like really start winning, and when I say winning, I mean a fucking Super Bowl, which I just don't see happening, people are gonna stop going to games. Like in LA is like the definition of fair weather fan. When yep. I tell you fair weather, I mean it almost sucks being like a really, really big sports fan and like being here, because it's, I mean, if you ever come here, trust me, I'll take you to a game and you'll be like, holy shit, you were not lying. I mean, you will see Staples Center empty. empty, empty, and it's the Lakers. But then this next year they got Zoe and blah blah blah, so people are gonna start going back to the games. But no, I personally, I don't think it's gonna work. I can easily see, you know, AG Spanos taking them back to somewhere or moving them somewhere else, but I just don't see it working at all.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Yeah, it's just tough. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head when you're describing sort of the fan atmosphere down in LA.
Yeah, nobody's from here. We're all transplants.
Exactly.
Right?
Like, yeah.
Put it this way, I mean, I've lived in LA for, you know, for a decade plus, and I'm gonna say 1 out of 500 people that I meet from out here are from LA. Like, it's nobody's from here.
Look at yourself. You're a Giants Yankees fan living in LA. Yeah.
Exactly. So if you're not from here, you really don't have a need to go to the games. And then the people that do live here, it's like the, you know, nobody wants to go see a losing team unless you're a real, real diehard. Like, you know how many people that I know from LA, and it sucks to know these type of people, but like, who go, yeah, you know, I grew up a Red Sox fan, and then I became a Yankee fan, and then I became a Met fan. Yeah. And then now I'm a Dodger fan, but I like the Padres. And you're like, oh, okay. That was weird. That's, you know, that kind of describes the LA scene of, like, you know, the fandom. And I hate to give the West Coast a bad name because I rep it and I love it. And there are great fans here. But for the most part, especially in LA, it won't work.
Yeah, no, I think we're all in agreement there. All right. Any final words before we shut down the episode?
So we all agree that the Giants are going to lose on Sunday?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately.
Not to end on a sour note or anything.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately. Like, the only way is if we get Ellison in there more, we get the running backs to do some chips, and, you know, we pray to Base God a lot. I'm actually going to tweet at Base God for him to pray for us.
Please, Base God, give us a dub. All right, that's it. Episode 37, DeMario, thank you so much for coming on. Everyone,
thank you for coming on, brother.
Yeah, you can go follow him on Twitter. At DeMario Jackson _. Don't forget the underscore at the end. Give him a follow. Giants fan. It'll be an entertaining follow this season. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Episode 37. We'll speak to you guys next week. Peace.
Peace.